Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original.
I'm Steve Kathan. Secretary of State Blinken has postponed next week's planned diplomatic trip to China. It comes after a suspected Chinese spy balloon was seen over Montana. It's now high over the Midwest.
U.S. officials say the balloon is traveling at an altitude of 66,000 feet and maneuvering as it is blown on a trajectory that is expected to take it across the United States. The Pentagon continues to track it on radar and at times has it under visual observation. Military officials have recommended against shooting it down for now because of the danger it would pose to people on the ground. But officials say that recommendation could change once the balloon gets over an unpopulated area. David Martin, CBS News, Washington.
China insists it's a civilian research balloon and has expressed regrets. The government says employers added 517,000 jobs last month. CBS's Jill Schlesinger says that's considered a strong number.
The January jobs report underscores the message that Jerome Powell gave during his press conference this week. Although economic growth is weakening, the labor market remains resilient, which means the Fed is likely to continue raising interest rates maybe two more times at a quarter point each so that wage growth starts to come down and inflation readings improve.
Wind chills this morning in the upper Midwest were in the 25 below zero range. WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen says the brutal cold is now pushed east.
The winds continue to increase. They'll be running at gale force, running 20 to 30 and gusting over 40 miles per hour at times through the day today. And the temperature and wind combination will keep driving the wind chill down until it reaches dangerously low levels, anywhere from minus 10 to as low as minus 40 or minus 50.
Honda and the government are urging owners of thousands of older vehicles not to drive them until dangerous airbag inflators are replaced. Here's Jeff Gilbert of Detroit affiliate WWJ.
These are older 01 to 03 Hondas and Acuras with non-repaired Takata airbags. Honda says there are 8,200 vehicles out there that have a high risk of having the airbag inflator rupture that can cause death or serious injury. You can check with a dealer or the NHTSA.gov recall database.
A Republican bill in Arizona would restrict drag shows in the state.
It's not R-rated, it's X-rated entertainment.
GOP Senator John Kavanaugh says under the bill, performances would be banned near daycare centers, schools, and churches. Performer Jessica Harper spoke in opposition.
This bill is so vaguely written that it would effectively make it illegal for me to exist in public as a trans woman, let alone DJ anywhere but a strip club.
Checking Wall Street right now, a mixed bag. The Dow is up 57 points. The S&P is down 5. This is CBS News.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Lawyers for the Green Bay woman accused of killing a man after a day of drugs and sex about a year ago are asking for another delay in the case. Taylor Shabusiness's lawyers say they need more time to review the evidence. Shabusiness is set to go on trial March 6th. Wisconsin voting machines pass an audit with flying colors. After the last election, Wisconsin Elections Commission staff tested 10% of all voting equipment used across the state and found a 0% error rate.
The result of this audit should give the public assurance that Wisconsin's voting machines perform as expected.
Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. The bipartisan commission accepted the results unanimously yesterday. In sports, the Bucks trimmed the Clippers last night 106-105. The Badgers beat Ohio State. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Jean of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Really simple application, but then at the bottom it's going to say it's required, so you have to put something.
Oh. Cool.
You do have to put something, so why not put As Goes Wisconsin?
Even though Brian Kelly, who's coming up next on Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers, did mention yesterday that his life was potentially in harm's way.
I know, and I love Brian, and I'll miss Brian, but...
We will miss Brian.
We'll miss Brian. We'll miss our Russian mafia.
Oh, he's the best.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Thank you for joining us during our No Sour Super Ha Ha Funny Hour. Is that what Greg Bach has the working title right now?
Yeah, that is the working title for hour three.
The working title. We're still taking submissions. What was the other one that this could be the con hour?
It was Wisconsin.
So this would be
or Wisconsin win. This would be the win hour.
This would be the win hour. Yes. There we go. But yes, welcome to the fun 1 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. As always, Jane Mettner is on the board. At later in the hour, Mayor Dan Devine of West Allis is going to join us to talk about all the great things in West Allis, because there's one Brookfield alderman who doesn't think that highly of West Allis.
Apparently
so
not.
We're going to ignore him and lift up Stallus. But before that, we're so excited because we thought this was happening last week, but we missed it, mixed it up, which is fine. It's the fun parts of live radio. But this week, now, we are welcoming back Matt Miller, who is the culture editor over at On Milwaukee, to talk about the Oscar nominations. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you for, and I apologize for being so unfashionably late.
No. Well, that was because, first of all, we talked a little bit at the break, but we'll have to compare notes because you were in Aruba, and then,
I was.
And then you got to come back to snow, which was very fun.
For some reason, I came back. I came back to Wisconsin January like a fool, and just finished shoveling. And now I am here to talk about Hollywood's finest times, most fancy, most glorious, glamorous evening, while just drenched in sweat from shoveling a week's worth of old snow.
The physical exertion of shoveling snow. All right, so let's just get started as far as... any surprises with what ended up making the cut for nominations, or pretty much what you expected?
There were, I think, in general, things went as expected. What was cool was the surprises that happened were genuinely fun surprises. Sometimes there's always room at the end of each category for, you know, kind of a surprise person. And in past years, normally that surprise is a lazy, obvious pick. Pick your Judi Dench nominations, pick your Sam Rockwell in Vice. They tend to pick lazy picks for those spots. And this year, when they had a chance to get weird, they got weird. They nominated Paul Mescal in After Sun, which is an A24 critically beloved movie, but I think has only been out in about 100, 150 theaters nationwide. We certainly haven't gotten it here in Milwaukee yet, but it's really cool that instead of going, you know, kind of in a lazy direction with, you know, another musical biopic or something like that. I mean, obviously Elvis is nominated, so that base was covered. They could have given it to Tom Cruise and Top Gun Maverick, but instead they went with, you know, this smaller movie. Same thing with Triangle of Sadness and Women Talking getting in for Best Picture. Both of those were kind of on the fringe, especially Triangle of Sadness, which is this international political satire featuring rich people on a cruise liner that goes horribly awry. If you don't like seeing vomit, do not watch that movie. skip that one on your Oscar binge.
That's a good tip, Matt.
Yeah, it's a very, I will say this is one of the least embarrassing Oscar lineups we've seen in quite some time. You know, there's no Green Book here. There's no Don't Look Up. There's no movies that I look at here and think, oh no, what have we done? Why did we choose this bad movie?
And why, as a culture editor, would you consider both of those movies, Green Book, which won? Don't Look Up didn't win, though. It was nominated, but it didn't win, right?
No, it did not win.
But is that what you would describe as lazy, or why do you kind of cringe at those titles?
I just straight up don't like Don't Look Up. It's very Adam McKay smugly smirking at the audience and for 2.5 hours refusing to make a joke and ostensibly a comedy and condescendingly talking down to the audience about issues that we're all aware of. He had the same issue in Vice, which I thought was a terrible, horrible movie that spends 2.5 hours telling that the problem with the Bush administration was you idiot, for not recognizing what was wrong with it. And it's like, well, we were here. We were aware. Like, a lot of fat talk from the guy who directed, you know, The Other Guys, and Anchorman 2. I do not like that movie. And Green Book is the Best Picture winner from 1989. Like, it is a outdated movie with really great performances. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with Mahershala Ali winning. But it is not a movie that spoke to the race conversation we are having today back in 2018. It was woefully outdated in terms of the conversation it was having. This year, not to litigate Oscars from past years, but this year, you know, you have a lot of stuff. You can debate the kind of, you know, moral side of Top Gun Maverick and whether it's military propaganda. It is, but it's excellently made.
It was very fun.
It's a great blockbuster. You know, if we're going to nominate blockbusters for Best Picture and nominate that achievement, that's quite the achievement. You have Tar, you have Avatar 2, you have a Netflix movie with All Quiet on the Western Front. You have the indie smash of the year, Everything Everywhere All at Once, getting nominated for Best Picture, and 11 other places, which I think I feel confident in saying this is the first Best Picture nominee to feature people with hot dog fingers. So that and Wings, never mind. Yeah, both of those. But so it's a really eclectic combination of nominees this year. And I think, you know, there's always the talk, you know, are the Oscars, are they too elitist? Why don't they nominate enough movies that I've seen? Well, there's everything here. There's Elvis, there's Tar, there's Triangle of Sadness, there's Top Gun Maverick. If you haven't seen one of the Oscar nominees, you probably didn't leave the house this year.
Well, I actually have a lot of catch up to do with seeing more of them before I have until March 12th to watch them. But as far as, cause that is, I think some of the things that I read as far as the analysis of this year's pictures is in welcoming or nominating more big blockbuster films. Is that a nod to the Academy needing to stay relevant? And like, instead of always kind of focusing on art house films that are, as we talked about last week, films versus movies.
A film.
Do you think that that is because they want to stay relevant and their own ratings need to, I mean, as every year, I feel like there's that headline of there's less people who watched and less people who watched. And so is this actually because of what, from what you can tell, these movies deserve, they are great movies? Or is it, you can see kind of the reason behind the reason being we need more people to be interested in the Oscars.
Yeah, I'm a first mention on that. The ratings from the past year for live broadcast came out. The number one non-sports watched broadcast is still the Oscars.
It is. Okay.
Like if you go through the ratings for the entire year of live broadcasts, it's all sports, NFL, mm-hmm. NFL, Olympics, NFL. The Oscars are still the most watched live broadcast. So yes, the numbers are going down for it, but the numbers are going down for pretty much everything that isn't football. So that is just how society is working right now. It's a very fractured pop culture world. To go back to your main question, though, the Oscars this year, I think if we were nominating, you know, I think Top Gun Maverick is a really great movie. I think it's a really entertaining blockbuster of a movie. It's a technical achievement. I think Avatar 2 is a really good blockbuster. This was a shockingly good year for big budget movies. And I'm kind of glad that we are taking a moment to, you know, appreciate though that the Oscars didn't think themselves too high and mighty to reward mm-hmm. these kind of movies. But do I think Top Gun Maverick or Avatar are going to win Best Picture? I would be shocked. Especially if Avatar 2 wins. Top Gun, maybe, honestly.
Just because of the technical achievement of how they filmed it and everything?
People really love that movie on multiple regards. It's a great movie. It is a movie that brought people back to theaters. Yeah. It was a sensation, you know. And I do think it's Tom Cruise's best performance in years. Admittedly, that's not saying much, considering he's mostly just played stuntman Tom for the past. He's just been a wild mannequin of a human being, just jumping onto buildings couches. And stuff like that. Now he actually gives a performance in Top Gun, which was nice to see. I think if they wanted to lesser themselves and bring in more blockbusters just for the sake of having blockbusters, they could have nominated some flawed blockbusters like, you know, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, which yeah. I think is a good movie, but is wildly overstuffed and it doesn't have room for it. They could have nominated a bunch of other blockbusters, but you still have Tar in there. You still have The Fabelmans. You still have Women Talking. These are not blockbusters. You still have Triangle of Sadness. So there's still going to be people who are like, oh, what's this movie doing? I haven't heard of this. How could they do this to me? But they have something for everybody this year, which kind of should be what the Oscars should be. They should be a roundup of the year of cinema.
We're talking to Matt Miller, who's the culture editor at On Milwaukee, about the Oscars. So to round out this segment, because when we come back, we're going to talk about the Razzies, which are the opposite of the Oscars. But what stood out for you as far as performance nominations? Because I think that's always what people get very excited about as well. And as far as like best actress, best actor, anyone you think has it in the bag or kind of a free for all?
Absolutely. I think best supporting actor is going to go to Ke-Huy Quan from Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's a great, you know, backstory off screen. It's a great performance on screen. I think, and obviously there's a lot of love for that movie. It is the nomination leader with 11 total nominations. So I see him, if you're a betting person, put your money down on him winning best supporting actor, no doubt. I think best actor is going to be between Colin Farrell in The Banshees of Inisherin and Brendan Fraser for The Whale. I imagine Colin Farrell is going to win here because The Whale is a very divisive movie. Okay. People either love it or absolutely despise it. And I think they want to give an award to a movie that people like. So I think Banshees of Inisherin will probably win out there. And then Best Actress is the most competitive because it's two people. It's Cate Blanchett in Tar as the orchestra conductor, and it's Michelle Yeoh in Everything Everywhere All at Once. Both incredible performances. The Oscars in recent years have tried to share the love to all yeah. the movies that they've appreciated over the years. So I imagine if they want to spread the love, this will go to Tar and they'll give Everything All at Once to a supporting actor. Or if they really love Everything All at Once that much, they'll give it to Michelle Yeoh.
All right. Well, we'll see. Stick around. Matt Miller's still going to be here when we come back. We're going to talk about the Razzies. How many of those have you seen? This is As Goes Wisconsin. On with the show.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 6 above. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 2 above tonight, mainly cloudy. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 32. Temps a bit above average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the mid-30s to the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height, currently 1 above.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Matt Miller, who is the culture editor at On Milwaukee, about his thoughts on this year's Oscar nominations, which came out on Tuesday morning. And so just to wrap up that before we head over to talk about the Razzies and the worst movies of the year, at least according to them, any other snubs or like surprises or just kind of thoughts in general as far as what got nominated and what didn't?
Yeah, Best Actress is a little bit of a testy spot because you had Viola Davis in The Woman King, who was looking like she might get nominated. You had Danielle Deadwyler in Till, looking like she was going to get nominated. Neither of them got in. The category has no Black women. Both those movies also got completely blocked out, The Woman King and Till. Just reflects poorly on the Oscars in terms of they just do not tend to recognize movies about Black women, showcasing Black women with Black women behind the camera as well. It's just disappointing that they still kind of haven't gotten over that hump as well. I think there was room for them in that category. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I believe Halle Berry is still the only Black woman to win lead actress in the Oscars.
Is Viola Davis only one for supporting actress?
Only supporting actress.
Wow.
Yes. So I believe that is true. I'll fact check that in the middle of the next question. But it's just kind of sad that, you know, it does feel like stories about Black women and Black women behind camera, it still is an uphill battle. We might have Angela Bassett winning Best Supporting Actress this year for Wakanda Forever. That would be nice. But, you know, it would be nice if there was a more well-rounded, because otherwise also this was a very diverse lineup this year. But that is a pretty significant gaping hole.
Man, I agree with you on who is likely going to win Best Actor. Ken Hui from Everything Everywhere All at Once. But I want to point out, is it Barry Keoghan from The Banshees? His performance where he confesses his love to this woman who rejects him is one of the most real and painful performances I've ever seen. I just thought he was brilliant.
It's a really great scene, and especially because for most of that movie, you thought like, oh, this guy's such a doofus. Like, this character is such an oddball, and then he has this really emotional, open, you know, sincere moment. I think it's a great performance not only is he in a category, though, with Kehui Kwan, who's going to win, but he's also nominated with Brendan Gleeson for Banshees of Inisherin. And even if there was hope of him winning, he's going to split votes. And it's just really hard to win when you're splitting votes with an equally good, I think, supporting actor candidate.
So moving over to the Razzies. So the Razzies, as far as I understand, they stand for the Raspberries? Is that what the full...
They stand for the Raspberries, but they mostly stand for being a garbage organization of catty gossip readers who are just desperate for headlines. And I don't like using live in the basement as an insult, but these are basement dwellers. Like, these are new low people who found a new low this year. Congratulations to them.
And that is the point, that they really did find a new low. So who gets to vote on this? This is just like amateur movie critics, or who even makes up who gets nominated and chosen?
It's just kind of their odd organization. They're kind of like the opposite of the Hollywood Foreign Press, where it's kind of this secretive group of just angry bloggers and catty gossip people. And every year, I mean, you look at these nominations and it's just like, okay, Good Morning, the Machine Gun Kelly movie. Are you nominating Machine Gun Kelly as the worst actor of the year because he was truly a bad actor in that movie? Or are you nominating him because he was in a lot of headlines this year and you're annoyed by him? You know, they're the same group that nominated Jennifer Lawrence for worst actress just because they were tired of her. They nominated Lindsay Lohan because they were tired of her and they wanted to make fun of her. They're just a group that wants an excuse to make fun of people that we see in the media all the time. It's just, you know, beating a dead horse, the award show.
And then this year they actually kind of stepped at it because they nominated for worst actress a 12-year-old, right?
Yeah, and listen, we all have seen child performances that we think aren't very good, but I think it's kind of going out of your way to pick out this mostly forgotten horror movie, Firestarter, and be like, this little girl in this movie, trash. She was one of the worst performances of the year, which I don't think that movie's very good. I don't know if she's very, very great in it, but I think, you know, it just kind of seems like, you know, punching down. It's utterly and completely punching down. It's just a waste of everyone's time, honestly.
Well, and they could have nominated the entire cast of Harry Potter, the first movie, because they were terrible in the first film.
Exactly. I mean, how many of us watched that first Harry Potter movie now and we're like, oh boy, you know, they'll have to grow into it. And they did grow into it.
Yeah.
And you've got Daniel Radcliffe, who's, you know, this very wildly adventurous actor now. And you have Emma Watson, who was in Little Women and a lot of interesting stuff. You know, it just seems, you know, cruel to kind of already start going after people's kneecaps at the age of 12.
Well, it's funny. That's just that specific reference. So apparently in either his journal or something, Alan Rickman like complained about like these young kids that he's acting with, and Daniel Radcliffe, because obviously RIP Alan Rickman, but Daniel Radcliffe's response, it was like clickbaity as far as like, see how Daniel Radcliffe respond to Alan Rickman's criticism or whatever. He's like, yeah, we were bad, we were kids, like, what do you, of course he thought that. He's like, he was a professional, one of the best actors we've ever had, of course he was kind of eye rolling at us.
But honestly, if you go back and watch the first one again, it's almost like they gave those kids as few lines as humanly possible because they were not good.
Well, and it's just, you know, they're kids.
They're kids.
They're learning the craft, and you don't, like, you know, we it's so hard to be in the industry as a kid on its own, to much less be worried about this, you know, punching down, you know, tacky organization coming after you. It just seems unnecessary. And again, a lot of this stuff is just making fun of people who are already down. It's nominating Halle Berry when she was in her swoon. You know, it's amazing. What's the point?
Yeah. All right, Matt Miller, thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you back soon. Follow him on Twitter. We'll link everything to the blog today. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News brief. There's word a suspected Chinese spy balloon is now high over the Midwest. Pentagon correspondent David Martin.
Military officials have recommended against shooting it down, but officials say that recommendation could change once the balloon gets over an unpopulated area.
China insists it's a civilian balloon conducting research. The government says employers tacked on 517,000 jobs last month. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Although economic growth is weakening, the labor market remains resilient, which means the Fed is likely to continue raising interest rates.
The unemployment rate hit a new half-century low, 3.4%. Forecaster Craig Allen watching a northern deep freeze.
This dangerous chill has the temperatures already well below zero from Minnesota and Wisconsin across the lakes, as well as Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York State, and now moving into New England.
Wind chills dipping below zero. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. Milwaukee may host a Republican presidential primary debate as well as the Republican National Convention in 2024. RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel announcing they are considering holding a debate in the city. She didn't offer details, but said an announcement will happen in the coming weeks. Several homeowners in Vilas County are stuck in the middle of a decades-long easement dispute between a title company and Lac des Flambeaux tribal officials. In the 60s, private homes were built in the middle of tribal lands, with the roads leading to those properties also on tribal land. The agreement to use the roads expired 10 years ago. Tribal leaders say the title companies haven't negotiated in good faith. Homeowners received notice 2 weeks ago they'd no longer be allowed to use the roads. After serving as interim CEO since December, Kohl's Corporation officially naming Tom Kingsbury as the new CEO. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on the Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin, oh West Allis, what a wonderful suburb. It's a part of the greater Milwaukee metropolitan region. Oh yeah, West Allis, what a fine.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. That is Jane Matinair with another treasure that you just found in the bowels of the internet, apparently.
You just got to look for the gems. They're there.
Well, that song can only mean one thing. That mayor of West Allis, Dan Devine, is here for the first time. We are so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, 20 seconds in, I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say after
that.
So
you have not heard that song before.
I have not heard that song before.
Who is the artist?
He actually just refers to himself as the guy who sings about cities and towns.
Okay.
On YouTube.
Okay.
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, yes. Right.
And that song is about a city and a town.
West Dallas.
More of a city than a town. Huh? But that was a very fun way to start. All right. So this is a continuation, kind of a conversation that erupted in Southeast Wisconsin this week due to a alderman who had not very nice things to say about some of his neighboring communities. And I saw your response to this, which was so gracious, and I'm just going to read it. But you tweeted out in response to this, it is a serious problem in society when people broadly generalize groups simply based on where they live. It also is sad to characterize two fine communities like West Dallas and Wauwatosa, which have well over 100,000 residents, as not being worthy of living in his community. Quite honestly, I feel sorry for him. I would never characterize everyone in the city of Brookfield or any community in a manner such as this. And I commended you on taking the high road. And then I invited you to come on the show. And you're like, well, I need to stay on the high road. And I was like, I will keep you there. So I want to focus mostly on all of the great things happening in West Dallas and keep things positive. But I do want to commend you on your response to what was otherwise a crappy sentiment to put out, especially as an elected official.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, in my opinion, it's not, there's no advantage to get into a screaming match with another community on this. We're Southeast Wisconsin and the state of Wisconsin as a whole right now, at a time if we should ever be thinking regionally and thinking about how we can all lift one another up, it's now. And, you know, something like that just flies in the face of it. So I'm not going to shoot back. It's just, we are who we are in West Dallas. And one of the things I love about this city is the fact that it is so down to earth and genuine. And no community is perfect. And anyone who's in a community that says they live in the perfect community is not being truthful. But yeah, it's just, you know, a lot of people in this community, myself, our staff, our residents, our neighborhood associations, our business community are really working hard to improve the city. And I think that their work is showing results.
And I would agree with, I'm not from South, I grew up in Madison, but since, you know, Mike and I have gone out to West Dallas a fair amount, and he's the first one to say in the last 10 years, the amount of development, the amount of fun bars and things to do and subdivision development and stuff, like how much probably under your tenure, West Dallas has grown and changed is quite the thing to behold. So how long have you been mayor?
It's going to be 15 years, actually, in April.
That is a tenure.
Yeah, it is.
And so what for you do you think in those 15 years, what have you seen change the most and what has stayed the same in West Dallas?
So I love to eat and I love restaurants and I love independent restaurants. And I always joke that any community can have an Applebee's, but what do you have that makes it unique and interesting and would bring people from neighboring communities here? So I remember when I first got elected, you know, and I'd look for a place to go out to lunch, and there was just a small handful of independent, locally owned restaurants. And the one I loved was Antigua Latin Inspired Cafe. It moved here from the city of Milwaukee because there was construction on Wisconsin Avenue, and they ended up moving into this city. And that was one of my favorite spots. But now we're getting to a point in West Dallas where I feel like I love to support our local businesses, and I will, as some people that may follow me on social media, I'll post food pictures and try to remind everybody that they're there and, you know, support you, especially with the last couple of years through the pandemic. Let's remember these small mom and pop places are still in our community, and how many times I've seen, you know, unfortunately one of them will close, and then you'll see comments like, oh, I always wanted to try that place. Yeah. Well, maybe you should have, you know, maybe you should have gone there. But so now I'm at the point where I feel like I'm not getting to them enough because we have so many places to eat. And that goes too for, like, you know, artisan bakeries, craft breweries, coffee shops, you know, so many things have been popping up. And I really think that those small businesses have kind of a relationship with the larger businesses, where if they're looking for a place to land a company, they want to have amenities for their employees to shop, to eat, to go out, to walk to over lunch. And I think those kind of go hand in hand. So when we see companies adding jobs or moving here, they're also supplementing the boom in local restaurants and things like those amenities.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's part of, in talking about that, is just like to me, I've never been elected to a local government, but as far as like a functioning community, it's having the jobs, but it's also having people having enough housing that the people who work those jobs can live close enough or have transit lines to get to work. And like all of it kind of needs to flow together. And yes, like gatekeeping isn't always a good thing for the betterment of everyone in the community. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And so as far as, you know, obviously West Dallas is also where the state fair is every year. And yes, I can't forget that. And so what do you feel like, what else do people not know about West Dallas that you think would surprise folks about the community?
Well, there's one fact I always throw out there, and this is, I haven't heard this in a while, but years ago, West Dallas had the highest percentage of millionaires. And there was some factor that, I don't know how this came from, but a lot of these longtime Alice Chalmers employees would just sit on their money and work and work and work. And there were stories of widows, you know, whose husband worked at Alice Chalmers, and they had literally mattresses full of cash. And, you know, again, this was probably a number from 1973 or something like that. But we had this incredible per capita amount of millionaires living in West Dallas, and they wouldn't spend it. They'd sit on it, but you know, they were still millionaires, whether they're spending it or not.
This is like cash rich millionaires.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's just so Wisconsin. It just is. I have $3 million and I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah. I might need it someday.
Exactly.
It helps me sleep better physically and mentally.
Oh man. That's a good fun fact. Is it proven? Is it something that's like, or is it just a rumor?
It's a rumor, and okay, I have not dove into it. I probably should. I should probably dig into the Historical Society a little bit and see what they know. But that's always fun. Another thing, too, is that, you know, I talk a lot about the new businesses, but another cool thing I also really appreciate is the longstanding businesses like your Kegels Inn and your Rapina's Fine Foods. I mean, those are family generations that have run those businesses. Kegels will come up with a story on their social media sometimes about how, you know, their great grandma used to carry bootleg booze under her big puffy skirt and walk it across the street to the office. Or, you know, they had all kinds of things, trapdoors in the bar, all kinds of great stories. And a lot of that longevity, the city's old. We're 114 years old, I believe. So, you know, we have a lot of history, a lot of stories, a lot of aging infrastructure, too.
Speaking of some of the history, and what was the festival or the parade that we were talking about that one time that people want to bring back, but probably will never be brought back?
Yeah, Western Days.
Western Days. Tell us more about what Western Days were, because I was fascinated when we were talking about it before.
This is another, this actually starts a story of another example of how great this city is, but it stems off Alice Chalmers. But they, a group of residents, started West Dallas Charities. And that was, I was told, and again, I don't want to say this is going to be 100% accuracy, but I was told that they put big chunks of their pension into a fund to help the community, and they would meet. And I was involved in this right when I moved into the city back in about 2000, and they would meet and they would get a letter from a family on 92nd Street whose furnace went out, and the dad was on leave with a work injury or something like that. So they would literally get together and help the community repair the furnace, replace the furnace, the washing machine, the car repairs. And then I believe Western Days was their big fundraiser.
Okay.
But it was a parade down Greenfield Avenue, started at State Fair, and it was claimed to be the world's longest non-motorized parade because everything was horse-drawn. And it went on for years. And then the festival went on, you know, the festival always happened, and I'm sure this show will probably generate a few more emails, but once a month I'll get an email or a Facebook comment from somebody about bringing back Western Days. And I'll say, if you want to do it and you can find $80,000 in sponsorship money, you know, we're trying to pay for our fireworks here. Yeah. We don't have the resources to put on another huge festival over a weekend. But yeah, Western Days was. And then, yeah, the organization aged out a little bit and disbanded some. So it did end up folding. Ultimately.
People who have never had to organize a parade or do something like that, I just don't think we appreciate how difficult it is logistically.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You don't realize how much work goes into just people walking down the street waving.
So then as far as fun things for 2023, what are you looking forward to as far as either events that are happening or new developments coming up?
We have a lot coming up. We're working with staff. Chelsea is our tourism events person, and she's really putting together an excellent calendar of concerts in the park, food truck events at our farmer's market. I can't not mention our farmer's market. That's one of our staple destinations. We've got new businesses continuing in that farmer's market neighborhood. I'm really excited because just about a block from City Hall, an Ethiopian coffee shop is going to be opening up. And apparently I've had Ethiopian inspired coffees, I guess, or people claiming their coffee is Ethiopian, but this is apparently going to be the real deal. So I'm really excited for that new coffee shop.
So then this will be my only political question, but as far as Governor Evers and his State of the State on Tuesday, how did the proposal of 20% sales tax coming back to cities for shared revenue sound to you?
You know, right now, anything is wonderful. Yeah. Because our shared revenue is at 2003 levels. It probably doesn't impact a community that can grow and can build out, but with West Dallas being 11 square miles, that is essentially built out and landlocked. I'm always teasing the mayors in Oak Creek and Franklin that they've got those huge fields that they can just go build on, where we have to tear it down, clean up the environmental. So it's a lot of work to get that functional and on the tax rolls. But I really hope that the legislature and the governor can work together and get something done. I realize that, you know, every city in the state, every town, every village is going to have a different expectation and nobody's going to get the perfect formula, but we're going to have to take a little bit of pain with the gain and, just accept that. I think everyone knows something needs to change and something needs to give. But it baffles me that nothing has happened. And every year they wait, our budgets get worse. And we're struggling to keep firefighters and police officers, snowplows on our streets. And I don't think it's very hard to talk municipal government and funding sources with other mayors. But just imagine trying to explain it to an average resident who just goes to work and shops in the city and doesn't pay attention. It's very complex. It's very confusing.
Well, and it's just, but I ask mostly because I feel like so many of the headlines are always about Milwaukee, but this is something that's happening in every community as far as we need to be able to raise revenue, to be able to pay for actual things that everybody relies on. And so, go ahead.
I was just going to say, last year for our budget with the expenditure restraint program and the levy limits, we could go up $350,000 on our entire budget. And because police and fire were left out of Act 10, they have union contracts and they get raises. And I'm not saying they're not worth what they make, but the raises for one of those was over $400,000. So we're starting our budget in the negative already. And that's before we even,
get paid for other things. Yeah. Well, didn't mean to end on a down note because so much of that was really positive. But thank you so much for spending some of your Friday with us. We'll have to have you back as some of the events that you were talking about happen. But Mayor Dan Devine, thank you for everything you do. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
Have a great weekend. All right. When we come back, you're going to want to maybe tune in for the live stream because we have a surprise for you. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations. We'll be right back.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 6 above. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 2 above tonight. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 32. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Dry with temps a bit above average Sunday and Monday, and highs from the mid-30s to the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height, currently one above.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. Actually, right now I'm a little bit more...
Betty.
Betty? You're a little Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Sure.
It is National Bigwig Day. And so if you happen to be in front of your computer or iPhone... Watching the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, during the break, both Jane and I... became blondes, because we are.
Really blonde.
Really blonde. Yeah. And so we both decided to bring in our wigs for the day, for National Big Wig Day, because why not? It's Friday.
Exactly.
Who cares?
It's the last break of a three-hour show.
And we were joking this morning. I was like, I don't know if we can do the whole show in this. I feel like there's a couple serious topics that I'm going to feel too much of an idiot to try to talk about that while I look like I belong in the 1920s
right.
with this like curly Q. Well, this is literally the wig that I wear for 1920s parties.
It's really cute.
Thank you.
This is the wig that I wear when I want to impersonate Sia.
There you go. You need it to flip it around, though, so we can't see your face.
Oh, well, I can't run the board if I can't see.
That's true. That's so true.
That's tricky.
But actually, the funny thing with this day is it's tied to American Cancer Society.
That makes sense.
Which makes a lot more sense,
it
right?
It does.
And so it is it's a special day that allows anyone not only a place for special recognition as a big wig, but also for them to showcase their fun side by donning their favorite silly wigs, which we are doing. Just as people show off those wigs, the goal is to encourage as many people as possible to donate to the activities of the American Cancer Society to help fight cancer. And so people are encouraged to donate as little as $1 for the cause. So,
oh, that's great.
I think I will go do that after today's show. But, don't accuse us not wanting to have a good time.
We're cheap and easy, you guys. we're easily amused.
We are
let's put it that way.
We will also be putting a picture of us, I'm sure, as soon as the show's over. We will take a fun selfie.
Gotta do that.
Can I get you to do a TikTok with me?
Do I have to? Sure.
I don't know which one. We did one for your birthday that was pretty fun.
Give me a concept and we'll run with it.
I've got to think of what we could do that would be... It would be funny for us.
That's TikTok-y. What's the latest rage on TikTok?
What is...
I don't know how you can... And I've tried, and I like your TikToks, and there are a couple of other people that I follow, and I like their TikToks.
What else do you follow?
I follow Eco Sister. She has a farm in Florida.
Okay.
With Emmanuel the Emu.
Emmanuel the Emu? Okay.
Emmanuel the Emu.
Okay.
And... But just when I go on the main TikTok page, the sound automatically kicks in for everything. Mm-hmm. I can't take it.
Like
it's too many people screaming at me. It's too much. And so I end up running. I run away.
You're like, I don't need this.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what is. We'll have to scroll through and see if we can come up with something fun and easy.
See if we can go viral,
cheap and fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, so happy National Bigwig Day. But I also found this that I thought you'd appreciate. So the advice from Maria Brañas Morera, the world's oldest living person, on one of the key, and she had a quote on the key to longevity.
The oldest living person.
The oldest living person. And it says, and she said, stay away from toxic people.
Wow.
Pretty good advice.
And I'm amazed that at that age, she even knows that term. That's pretty
impressive.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
She was born in 1907.
Wow.
So she was, she is now the Guinness Record Books holder for, after Lucille Randon died at 118. And so
118.
Yeah, and she's 115. So wow. She's the oldest living person.
Avoid toxic people.
Avoid toxic people. Keep them out of your life. I had said that I was going to talk about my first homeownership.
Snafu.
But hopefully, insurance will cover this. But yesterday, my brother's in town right now. And I was getting ready to leave to go to the show. He was taking a shower. And Mike was, I don't know, doing something. We were all in the house. And we heard something crash.
Oh, dear.
Or like there was just really loud noise. But then we just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And so then later in the day, Mike wasn't home. My brother was home. I had gotten back from the show. And I was going to take a nap before I started prepping for today.
Yep.
And I sit down on the bed and I look behind me and on our headboard, which is like a cloth, like it's covered in cloth, a big wet stain.
Oh, water.
And I felt it and it was like, drip, drip.
Oh, that's never good.
So clearly something had happened in the plumbing, which was the sound that we heard.
Something dropped.
And then in the middle of the night, it started dripping again. And so it's just this feeling of, oh my God. Because, you know, if you're renting, it's not your problem. But now it very much is our problem. And
yes.
I think I got an update while we were on air that it is one of the pipes to our toilet cracked.
Oh, God.
And the plumber who came over to look at it said, he's like, I've never seen a pipe crack like this before. We're like, great. Happy that we could be the first.
Yay, us.
So we will see, because they had to like cut into the wall and just... Welcome to home ownership.
Exactly.
So,
and it will only get better from here.
This is the beauty of having an investment in something. So, but otherwise, it'll be fine.
Nobody got hurt.
It doesn't seem like there's terrible amounts of water damage. But I also
just imagine
seen it.
But just imagine if you had been gone.
Yeah.
You know, if you had been gone for a week.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
That's when that would not be a good thing.
Yeah. Anyways, what are you doing this weekend?
I am, I'm going to keep purging. I've started purging. We have too much stuff.
Okay.
I have too much stuff. So, and I have hundreds of books, which I love, but I haven't read many of them in decades. And I was talking to Connor, who's the producer for Earl, and he's a big reader.
Oh.
And I said, great, I will throw together a box of books for you.
There you go.
And if you don't like them, then you can just pass them on or...
You're now your problem.
Exactly. Well, just, you know, pay it forward. And I like little free libraries. Sometimes I'll just drive around with a box of books and I'll stop by and throw them in those little free libraries.
That was one of our wedding gifts. We're going to put it up this next summer.
How cute.
It's in our yard. Yeah, we got
that's
a little free
awesome.
Library. So, well, we're headed to... Hopefully the snow is not... It's definitely snowing harder than it was when we started the show.
Yes.
But we're headed to the Dells. For some indoor water park fun.
Water park weekend.
I'm going to be spending my day tomorrow on the lazy river, maybe drinking a cocktail, because basically dry January is over. At least it is for me. But with that, stick around. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes Show. Brian is still alive. Even though we beat him, his life was not threatened. He was joking. But stick around. Otherwise, for us... That'll do it for this week of As Goes Wisconsin. Have a great weekend. We will be back on Monday at 11 a.m. to do it all over again.
It's a celebration. Let's celebrate. Come on now.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Let's celebrate. We're gonna have a good time tonight.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue or online at knuckleheads.shop.
Knuckleheads CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.